Good evening, sir. Could you please introduce yourself? And what position do you hold in the government of Uganda?
Well, my name is Alhaji Ali Kirunda Kivejinja. I'm currently the third deputy prime minister and the minister in charge of internal affairs.
My name is Akakoza Kayondo Michael. I'm an engineer by profession. Currently working with a consultancy firm.
My name is Egole Lawrence. I come from the northern part of Uganda, but right now I am in the capital city of Uganda, that is Kampala.
I'm called Farida Damolira, and I am a child development specialist. I work with an NGO called the Empower Campaign. We empower African communities through educating orphans and vulnerable children.
My name is, I'm called Keno Robert, from Uganda. I come from Palisa District. I work with the trade union.
My name is Jumba Peter Julian. I am a member of the Friends of Islamic Republic of Iran in Uganda Society.
Uganda is a small country in size. We are about 32 million people situated along the border.
East Africa comprises of Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. But now there is an integration which would include Rwanda, Burundi, and other countries to make it the countries within the Great Lakes region to unify and form a federation within the same region.
It's a landlocked country. We don't have a seaport. So our goods come in by rail, road, and a few by air. It's an agricultural country, peasant farming mainly. We grow coffee, cotton, beans, maize, and our staple food, the matoke.
What is very interesting about Uganda is that Uganda is a multilingual nation whereby over 36 languages are spoken, and it is not easy to harmonize very different people, very different culture, bringing them together. But it is interesting that the current government under the leadership of Yoweri Museveni has tried to bring people together.
Could you please explain the structure of the Ugandan government?
Well, you see, the government of Uganda is like any other government. We have got a presidential type of governance. We have got the president, who is directly elected by the whole population by more than 51%. And then he has got a cabinet, which he chooses. And then there is a parliament, where members of parliament are elected to make laws. And of course, we've got the judiciary, which handles any disputes within the population.
I said I'm in Uganda. I love my Kabaka. He's our traditional leader. We get guidance from him. He's under the President of the Republic of Uganda. Though both institutions run separately, but for us citizens, ordinary citizens, we live with them concurrently. We have no problem with it.
Uganda has gone through several transitions of governance since independence, that is the 60s, since 1962. About 8 changes of regime or so have gone through. But in the past regimes before the current president and his party, that is NRM, Uganda went through a lot of hassles, a lot of wars, a lot of killings, a lot of everything. But for the past 23, coming to 24 years that President Museveni has been in power, at least there is peace, there is development, and there is a cohesion within the country.
The structure of our Ugandan government, just like any government in the whole world, we have a president, vice president, his cabinet ministers, and the parliament.
I like the president very much because he liberated us from the dictatorial government. And everybody, every Ugandan has a freedom of expression. everybody has his freedom as a citizen.
Please explain about the cultural institutions in Uganda.
The kings were here before the central government was established. I understand in the 19th century, our forefathers lived comfortably with it. When we got independence from the English people, a new government setup was brought in. We've tried to live with it comfortably, but at times you run into problems here and there, but we can live with it.
Uganda was led by cultural leaders, cultural rulers and kings. With the coming of the white, the Westerners, cultural institutions were broken down into a central government led by a president. However, the powers of the kings were left intact. What is the relationship between the government of Uganda and the cultural institutions?
This government also came as a result of a people's revolution. And we came up from the bush, and there are a number of things which we want to restore. For example, cultural institutions had been have been banned under the old constitution. And one of our points, a 10-point program, was to create the wrongs that had been created by history. Distortion is in our society created by history. And we thought one of the things which need to be restored would be to the cultural institutions, so that the people can be able to feel more freely.
I think that borders on respect on either side. The government should respect the traditional leaders, and the traditional leaders respect the central government, because we have to live side by side. We are the same citizens that abide by the rules and regulations of the central government and the traditional rulers.
About the Kabaka of Buganda and President Yoweri Museveni, Kabaka of Buganda is just like any other cultural leader. There are so many cultural institutions in Uganda. When you go to Bunyoro, you'll find also Omukama of Bunyoro. He attains the same status as the Kabaka of Buganda. When you go to Lango, where I come from, you will find the Won Nyachi, who also attains the same status as the Kabaka of Buganda.
The relationship between the government of Uganda and the cultural institutions is a relationship where the one with the most power rules. And in this case, the government of Uganda has the most power. Cultural institutions all fall under the government of Uganda. They obey to what they say. In other words, it's the bigger fish in the sea.
The government which took over power from the colonial power was supposed to be a federal government. So that monarchist system, federal system, was abolished in 1966. President Museveni himself coming to power, which I was part of, had undertaking to settle this matter with the Buganda Kingdom. But during the last 25 years, this has not taken place. And I think both sides have been a little bit less honest with one another.
As long as the cultural systems do not antagonize with the central government, they can work hand in hand, because the cultural institutions are a way through which the government will talk to the people. People are closer to their leaders than the political leaders. People believe in their kings. So in order to develop a community, the government, the presidents, have to work together with the cultural leaders, because they are at the grassroots. They are the people. They talk to the people. In your opinion, do you think the cultural institutions are vital in a developing country like Uganda?
Well, cultural institutions, according to our revolutionary aims, they are necessary, because they fill in a gap which other institutions, modern institutions, don't provide. For example, in a modern society, parliament is now taken as a very prominent thing. But you know, it consists of the loser and the winner. So definitely, it cannot represent all the people. Then you belong to a clan. You belong to a cultural ethnicity. You've got these leaderships which you obey without orders. So without that one for molding the culture of an individual, the cultural institutions have got a role.
There is a rift between the Buganda government under the leadership of Kabaka Mutebi and the central government led by Yoweri Museveni. And in my own opinion, I would think there is no cultural institution in Uganda which is so superior. The cultural institutions are supposed to act independent of the politics, but the Buganda institution as a cultural institution has gone a little deeper into politics, making it bringing a rift between the central government and the institution of the Buganda, that is Bulange Nengo. So personally, I do not like the way the confrontation between the Buganda and the central government is going on.
People believe in cultural institutions more than the government. People trust their cultural institutions. People trust their kings more than the president. The president is a political leader. And in our case, our president came in power after fighting a war. So it was more of a battle. But with a cultural leader, this is a bloodline. So people have more faith in their cultural leaders. When a king says this, people will follow that. Yet with a president, people will tend to riot.
And we think Uganda is very mature, the leaders are mature, the kingdom is very strong, and it will not rely on propaganda. They will sit down and settle these matters. With God with us, inshallah, this will come through.
For example, we have got an elected government, which is normally elected on a manifesto. But then the cultural base of society is based on your family and your clan, your ethnicity. So it is important that when there are leaders who have no sanctions, in other words, if you don't obey them, they will not put you to jail. So if somebody gives you an advice from that end, you can also be able to take it up. For example, each one have got different clans here. We don't marry from the same clan. And if it's a question of, say, education, and the members of the clan says, but why don't we have doctors? Why aren't our children not being educated? That thing can be easily have greater influence than a government order.
Any country in Africa is based on the culture, practices of the people. All laws and rules are made depending on what the culture of the people is. For any country to develop, the leading government has to work with the people. And this is through respecting their beliefs, respecting their cultural practices, and using them to integrate with modernity to ensure that development is appropriate. We heard there was a riot in Uganda last year in September between one cultural leader and the government. What could have been the cause?
Now the question is, you know, with the ascent of colonialism, the chiefs lost their power and there were only small puppets who were not even allowed to have direct dealings with their own population. And it is the colonial agent who was promoted. As a result, because the people had a lot of attachment to cultural institutions, they preferred to have people around him to talk in his name and act on his name. So that culture has continued. That people, they only surround somebody, a cultural leader, and then they begin to to pursue their personal interests, either economic or political. Now, this is what brought about. Now, they themselves have no political program for the population. The only they want is to use the king. Eh? That the king is this one, and is not questionable, and is not what. So it is this one when they wanted to push this cultural leader to go to spearhead a political agenda that brought that conflict.
I think there's demand. There's a demand from Buganda. There's a demand from the Kabaka of Buganda and his people. They claim they want some reasonable percentage of some property in Uganda. And there's a talk of about 9,000 square miles of land. There's a talk of what some property, which was, the claim is that it was given to them by the colonial government. But I think the colonial government were buying favor because they wanted allies. So they had to use the Buganda, and then they had to bribe the chiefs with a lot of property of Uganda, ignoring the rest of Uganda. So when the 1962 brought this property back and burned the kingship from Uganda, I think there was calm since that time until President Museveni restored the kingship in Uganda, and these demands have started over and over and over again, which is almost causing stability and unrest in the country, which is no longer good for the development which is taking place.
It was an unfortunate incident which happened when the Kabaka of Uganda was refused to go and visit part of his kingdom. People didn't like it. They moved on the street. But as you know, strikes as they are, anything is bound to happen. What happened was very unfortunate. Hopefully in the future, it won't happen again.
Last year, in September, there were disagreements about the movements of the Kabaka. The government wanted him not to visit certain areas of minorities in Uganda, and the kingdom and majority of the people in Uganda wanted to do that. There was tension, and I think that was later calmed down through the activities of religious leaders in the country. Because in Uganda, the religious leaders, Muslims, Christians, Catholics, and Protestants are very important. So they managed to calm down. And I think in the present political situation, we hope that there will be negotiation between the two groups. Without that, I think tension will continue, and that's not good for the development of Uganda.
It traces back to even 1960s, when the same rift happened. The then Dr. Obote was a president. Dr. Obote comes from where I come from. There was the same thing. There was coup. There was attack in Mengo because the Mengo felt they felt they were more superior than the elected government of the time. And the same is repeating today. So I think we need stability in this country. And I think we need cohesion. I think we need to value one another as Ugandans. I said earlier, we have over 36 languages spoken, and we cannot single out a particular tribe to be more important than the rest of the tribes.
That riot actually existed, and I was unfortunate to have been a part of it because I was in town coming from work, so we had to walk all the way to get to our homes. Yeah, it was really bad. But actually, I believe that riot could have been averted if there was a clear understanding. It was lack of proper communication to the public. People got misinformed. People thought this was something to do with antagonizing the government, antagonizing with the cultural leaders. So it was something due to who has more power in the country. But if people had been informed that, no, as a cultural institution, you're not supposed to antagonize the central government, all would have been well.
Once the government realizes that there will be something or bad for you, specifically now, I can say that don't go to that place, and you insist to go. So it is the government's task to protect you from having a problem.
We heard that the president of Uganda had a meeting with various cultural leaders from all over Africa a couple of months back. What was the reason for this meeting?
Well, the question is that with the colonialism, which made a big assault on Africa more than any other part of the world, you know, for 400 years, Africa was reduced to slavery, so they were taken out, the most beautiful girls, the most powerful and energetic children, they were went to develop the economies of the West. Now, 400 years, that left the whole country completely, continent completely, almost without a base. Then that was followed by direct colonialism for more than 100 years, whereby then everybody who was around was silenced, not to talk, not to do anything. With the colonialism, then they had developed also into apartheid. Now, a continent has been disturbed for more than 600 years. Right? It had lost its soul. They lost their language, their ways of life, and we thought the cultural leaders could be left that gap, which cannot be filled by another, to be able to build up the consciousness of the population.
Africa as a continent, we were originally led by our cultural leaders, so most Africans still believe in culture. This meeting was aimed at forging a friendship, ensuring that Africans stay united as one, despite the fact that we are led by different presidents, but culture-wise, we are still one as one. So this meeting between the Ugandan president and various kings from all over Africa, we're meant to discuss what are the ways forward, how can we develop our economies through the cultural institutions.
I like the president of Uganda, Yoweri Kaguta Museveni, and I like the king of Uganda, Leonard Muwenda Mutebi II.
Do you think cultural institutions all over Africa can work hand in hand with their governments?
You can. It depends on how you look at it, because so long as they don't involve themselves into power struggle, you know, if it's a power struggle, then the strongest will always be able to take the day. They let them there have their very role, which is not antagonistic.
So we need to be fair to one another. We need to look at one another as equal so that we can coexist as Ugandans, independent of different languages spoken and different locations where nature put us.
I believe cultural institutions can, working with our government, can lead to development, especially in countries like Uganda and other African countries, because with culture, you don't have to, we all believe in one thing, we all practice the same thing. Through culture, people are united, and with culture, people work hand in hand. Unlike political aspects where someone will say, I am liberal, I am conservative, with culture, we are all one. So cultures can work with the modern government to enable development in African countries.
What Ugandans now need, what I expect, is a good governance. I know, like any other government, the NRM government cannot be rated 100% perfect, but we need to have a lot of desirable changes. We need total democracy. We need peace. As I still stress that we need peace. We need democracy. We need human rights to be observed in every aspect.
September 2009 was the commencing time of the conflict between the King of Buganda and the president of the country. The conflict led to widespread riots in Uganda. The aftermath of these riots was death and destruction throughout the country. It took a week to bring the situation back to normal conditions.